Hey, everybody. Welcome to McMillan Tomorrow. We started already, but...
We hot today, folks.
We're hot like fat grease.
Bacon grease.
Bacon grease cooking catfish nuggets.
Hopping on the stove.
Shout out to catfish nuggets.
Catfish
Don't
nuggets.
Don't be one of those days, people. Listen, you've tuned in, you're here. So settle in, get comfortable, and let's have a exciting time together. I don't know where we're going. I never know.
Me neither.
Well, one of us.
I just be driving. I just don't have a GPS on.
Help us today.
We just be driving.
I rescind. Mr. Speaker, strike the record of what I just said about one of us knowing. I said Mr. Speaker because I've been watching the...
Oh, the House.
For the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, he's talking about the speakers of...
I'm into politics, people.
Yeah.
Okay.
In case y'all didn't know, you wouldn't believe it probably, actually, but he really
didn't. Believe it? What does that mean?
Because you have so many strong takes on different things that people probably wouldn't even think you'd be in it or
Well, that would lend that I
The way that you say things probably surprises. Nobody in government speaks like you personally that I know.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know?
Well, they're not as
exactly.
You know,
erudite.
That's my point.
I was thinking that word.
Yeah, I got you.
They're not as you know.
Yeah,
I've known a lot of politicians. Mm-hmm. My first job out of college was working for a congressman, who was erudite.
Yeah,
a brilliant man. Shout out to the Honorable Floyd Harold Flick.
Shout out to him.
Love him, his family. But I've been around a lot of politicians. These are not bright people.
Yeah,
these are not bright people. These are not. The nadir.
The chosen ones.
No. These are folks who know how to get elected.
They just got elected. I was about to say that. They know how to get voters.
They don't have any skeleton bone. They don't have. They know how to hide whatever skeleton they have in their closet, and they can get elected. I could never get elected to nothing.
You don't think so?
No.
I'd vote for you.
Well.
I bet you all of our listeners and viewers would vote for you, too.
Would you ever go into politics?
Like,
front-facing.
Ask me what my dream job is.
President of the United States.
Did I tell you that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my dream job.
And you didn't even have to tell me.
Why?
Because I know you.
That's my dream job.
But this is the thing, though.
What?
So I watched, have you ever seen the movie Dave?
Oh, yeah.
93?
Yeah. Well,
so you know the situation.
Replaces, yeah.
Okay, so for those of you that don't know out there, this movie Dave came out in 1993, and it's about a guy who is literally the most friendly guy, most loving, caring for people person you could imagine. And he's a lookalike of the president. Well, president ends up having an incident. I'm not going to ruin the movie. And he ends up having to act as the president. And I was thinking to myself, what would you do if that ever happened to you? And they were like, you know what? Because you got so many people that are powerful, that trust you, that you're close to, that know you.
Yeah.
If something were to happen in our nation, I'm not wishing nothing on nobody, but to the leader, you know, of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to you behind closed doors, CIA, Secret Service, pull up to Doc's crib. And you sitting on the couch with your toes out, and they knock on the door.
I'm probably naked.
Yeah.
So I'm just, that's how I am at home.
Okay, so you're sitting on the couch naked, butt naked. And they knock on the door. You answer, we'll put you in a robe now. And they tell you that we need you, your country needs you. And,
to what? To do what? Be president?
To be president and serve as president. Right away, though. No. You don't get to tell nobody. You don't get to do nothing. Are you?
I'm replacing someone who looks like me.
So no, not even having to do it like that. No, it's just going to be Doc.
I'm behind the scenes?
In. No, you coming in front and center.
And this is just, legal?
Yeah.
All right.
Something happens to the vice president and president.
I'm down. What do you
mean?
You're
down. You're going to do it.
Listen, I am there.
Yeah, okay.
I am there. I'm going to be in the White House.
Doing whatever you want, walking around naked.
I'm not even. Shut up. I would not walk around the house.
It's your house now. You do.
I wouldn't even pack.
Yeah.
I would walk out the door, head to Air Force One.
Mm. Okay.
See, that one of my desires in life is just to fly on Air Force One.
Just one time, huh?
Just across the country.
I feel like that's going to happen.
Man, I want
I'm
that.
Surprised it hasn't happened already, to be honest with you.
Anyway.
What would your slogan be? Would you have one?
Yeah, wouldn't need one if you got just...
It's going to be like five words, you know.
Oh, you got to have one, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to think about what my slogan
would be. By the end of the show, you got to have a slogan for your
for my campaign?
Campaign. Mm-hmm. Okay, by the end.
Okay. Aaron, you got to help me come up with a slogan.
All right.
These two are...
Would you paint the White House black?
No. Yeah. That's the first thing white folks think black people are going to do when they take over is paint the White House black. No,
could you imagine if Obama did that?
He would have been.
I'm like, damn,
he would have been unalived. No.
Yeah, that riot would have happened way
sooner.
Oh,
listen,
they would have stormed Capitol Hill so fast.
It would have been a whole different kind of riot. Okay, but here's the irony: the same result, everybody would have went home.
They would have took that.
Not one person would have been arrested, just like it was on January 6th. Don't hate me, people. Just acknowledge that I'm telling the truth.
And on that note, we definitely need to get started because we can't go too far in that rabbit hole.
No one does nosy better than me. Photos. We found 378 photos.
He could what he do, because I don't know how he found it.
These are years of snooping, okay? I know you nosy too. Head over to Nosy where you can watch full episodes of The Karamo Show and be nosy with me.
Story. According to the BBC,
this story better be better than what we were talking about.
It will be. Okay. And it's actually something kind of that I agree with for sure.
Okay.
So according to the BBC in the UK, brain scientists suggest that people don't become fully adult until they're in their 30s.
Okay.
Challenging the notion that adulthood begins at 18, which I'm not sure who truly agrees with that. But research indicates that the brain continues to undergo changes until the late 20s, which, of course, can affect your behavior and your mental health and things like that.
Okay.
So they're arguing that defining a clear transition from childhood to adulthood is increasingly absurd, and it's a more nuanced process that occurs over 3 decades rather than just 2. How do you feel about that? I think so for sure, because I know me at 18 versus me at 31 right now. Two completely different people.
Well, listen, most 20-somethings that I know are really dumb. Really. I'm not talking like academically dumb.
Just really just dumb. Just life dumb.
No common sense.
Yeah.
Their thinking is very provincial, limited, short-sighted.
Yeah, ceilings like right here.
So, I mean, but I've always thought this. I remember I said to my sons when they were, I don't know, teenagers, I said, so, you know, you guys are getting older, blah, 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 blah. But we got a couple of rules, agreements. Okay. I reserve the right to veto any decision in your life until you turn 25.
25, okay.
I said, now, when you turn 18, I won't have a lot of input. But I will have a veto.
If you need to put your foot down.
I said, at 25, I lose my veto.
Yeah.
I said, you don't have to agree with it because this is just going to happen.
Yeah.
All right?
Just letting you know.
So they understood that, you know, he's not, at 18, he's not going to be involved, but I will veto something.
There is still a line that can be crossed.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, because I understood that, because I had seen some of this research before.
Okay.
That early research said about 25.
Yeah, that your brain doesn't stop 25. Developing until 25.
So, you know, I kind of prepared in my parenting for that.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I never had to use my veto.
That's good. That means you did a good job.
Or we're lucky.
Yeah, or they just got away with
it. Or I didn't know, which is probably the case.
It probably is, but it's okay.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, yes, I think the research is, I've lived it in terms of just dealing with younger folks who clearly to me are just not.
And, you know, for me, it's like what they kind of mentioned a little bit about it being more nuanced. I feel like even now at this age, so for those of y'all that don't know, we just talked about, I'm 31, and a lot of people find that really hard to believe because of my appearance, but then when you get to talking to me, you can tell that I've had some years of my life. But what I've learned is that I've grown at different paces and different stages of my life. Like some people that they call, you know, late bloomers, early bloomers, things of that nature. I think it just depends on, you know, how you're raised and what you've gone through, because some people go through the heaviest things in their life early on that forced them to grow up faster than others. And if you've had a relatively easy road, which I think in some cases, in phases of my life I did have, where it was like I was well taken care of by the people around me and my mom, and that kept me away from having to grow up in certain situations that I didn't, you know, necessarily wouldn't have had to go through in other worlds, so to speak. But
I mean, I guess the point you're making is that
I'm still growing, though. It's like I don't think it even stops at 31, 25, none of that. I'm like, I know 50-year-olds that are still developing.
Let's define the terms. Mm-hmm. Growth doesn't stop, rather.
You're right.
But at some point, you do become an adult.
Well, your body's just developed fully.
But your mind, your emotions, mental, everything. You're all of that. At a certain point, adultism kicks in, mm-hmm. and you know that it's there.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. But to your point, you still, as an adult, continue to grow mm-hmm. because the goal, see, this is what's wrong with America. We want to be adults. In other cultures, the goal is to be an elder.
Mm.
So you go from being a kid to being an adult, and you want to go from being an adult to being an elder,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And the only way to get there is not just to have age, it's to have wisdom.
Wisdom, yep.
So I just think our culture is bereft of wisdom,
mm-hmm.
you know? And to some degree, thank God, that's why I have a job.
because you actually have
right, you know. But it pains me to listen to people have these dumb conversations.
Me too.
You know, and just to be invested heavily, mm-hmm. emotionally.
That's why I'm grateful to have people like you in my life and to have grown up around mature people that value stuff much beyond what society deems as cool or the thing to be focused on.
Stuff that in a week, it won't matter.
It never does.
You know,
it don't usually matter later that day, yeah. to be honest.
You know, like the guy I was talking about early on when we started, has the girlfriend HBCU, mm-hmm. and they're going to whatever. So he tells my friend, I'm never going to find anybody else like her. She was my first this, my first that. Y'all know what I'm saying. My first this, my first that, my first this. Yeah. I'm never going to find anybody else like her. There's nobody else. And I wanted to say
it's
to
so
my
hard
friend,
for you to listen to.
I want to say to my friend, go tell your friend to shut the hell up. What do you mean you're never going to find anybody? You are. She is not the only woman in the world.
At all.
Sisters, you know I love you to death, but I got to say this, all right? And it's true for the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
People are like buses.
Yeah.
Every 15 minutes, another one's going to come
another
along.
Another one coming.
Yeah. Walking to the mall, you're going to meet another one. Get on the bus, you're going
to
meet another.
Go to another country, you're going to meet another one.
You know, and it's, oh, she did this, she did this, she did. Absolutely. She did all that. So
somebody else.
Wait. Somebody else can do that, but also that might mean that you might need to adjust and bear with it.
Yeah.
If she's all that, then bear with it. Bite the bullet and go through the hard time and hold on to what you got.
Right.
Don't tell me you got something special and you're willing to throw it away because she won't call you back when you want.
Amen.
All right. If she's that special, then then bite the bullet and go through the rough season because it ain't gonna be kissy kissy every day.
Nope.
Okay, if y'all were on the same campus, she'd be doing something. My point is, it's the provincial myopic thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to live your whole life in 2 weeks. Trying to have your whole relationship condensed down to 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We've been dating a year, and that feels like 20 to us.
Yeah.
Well, let me help you. It's not 20, it's a year.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes 2 years for the real person to show up.
2 years is what I think.
Come on.
By the time you hit 2 years, you should have an idea who you're dealing with.
Come on. And in the case of this couple, they've been dating a year.
Oh.
So don't tell me she's changed. Just the real her.
You finally discovered.
It's finally showing up.
Yeah.
So you were dating one version. Here comes the other version.
The one she presented to you first.
Here's the question. Can you love both of them?
And there's going to be more than just those
because
two.
Both of them are part of who she is. And again, it goes back to what you're saying. Coming to the conversation from a different perspective with some experience, you have a different understanding of what people are capable of.
Absolutely.
And hopefully the adult brain brings to the table just the benefit of living and seeing. I've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
See, people, look at you this. The only advantage to getting older is the only advantage to it is that you're not intimidated by things that people who have never seen certain things are intimidated by.
Yeah, the first time
right?
something happens.
So you lose something, you say, I've lost that before.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Or something like it.
Exactly. Yeah. And so your response is different.
Yeah.
Whereas someone who's never gone through anything thinks this is the end of the world.
Yeah, it's almost like getting in a fight.
Yeah, it's
when you ain't never been hit before.
It's exactly. It's just the end of Wednesday.
Yeah,
that's
a good way to put it.
And you'll be all right.
It's just the end of Wednesday.
But brains, I'm a lot less concerned about the development of people's brains than they are about the modern heart. So where's the study on at what point does the childishness of the human heart give way to the adult manifestations of
I feel like mine happened at 30, where I could feel that shift of not caring about a lot of the things that I cared about in my 20s and my teens just slowly start to fade away. And it was crazy because certain things did stay that I love and I know are always going to probably be there. But it was crazy. I'm talking about like just the whole being on the scene, you know, by the whole feeling like I got to please other people, feeling like I got to do anything other than what I want to do. I feel like once I hit 30 and I looked at my life and I started to evaluate, am I where I want to be? You know, just starting to gauge that based off of perspective. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that and I didn't like what I saw in certain areas. Mm-hmm. It was almost like I ain't got no more time to waste. I'm changing that right now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like 30 gave me enough time to see what I did throughout my 20s and start to get a fair evaluation of who I actually am now. Because that time period from 18 to 30, 12 years, that's a long time. But those periods, I feel like I was like 3 or 4 different people.
Well, you probably were more than that.
You know? And by the time you hit 30, it's almost like you know exactly what you like, what you don't like.
Not always.
Not always.
Not always.
But you start to get more of a sense
yes,
of it.
Yes, you're coming into mm-hmm. it more. You're
exactly.
You're being, and 30 now is really 22.
Yeah, it's the new, yeah.
You know, and 18.
30's the new 20. You know that Jay-Z song?
No.
Oh, it's a banger.
And 18 is really 9.
Yeah.
You know, so.
In this generation.
Yeah, because everything is sort of emotionally, psychologically regressing.
Absolutely.
So we would hope that at 30 you would have a better sense. And I guess the point that we're mm-hmm. making is that it's not about the chronology of your life. Mm-hmm. The number is not the thing that sort of defines where you are in the scale of maturity.
Yeah.
It's your ability to be self-aware. And to your earlier point, it also depends on who you're around, who's nurturing you, who's not nurturing you. Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of people I see on TikTok, and I think to myself, y'all should have spent a little more time with your grandparents. And you probably should have listened a little more.
Hey, man.
You on here acting like this is the end of the world.
No, for real. Before we go to break real quick, I want to ask you, yeah. At what age did you feel undeniably like an adult?
6. kidding. No, I've always been more mature
for your age.
Yeah.
So would you say in your like teens you thought like I was like probably closer to 18 for you then?
No, probably younger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably okay. More like 16, 17.
You know, I think more so with your generation too. My mom was, I feel like that too. And
my generation was pretty crazy.
Yeah, but y'all had to grow up faster than a lot of other people. Being black in America, I know.
Yeah,
especially.
No, but I'm just saying, generationally speaking,
yeah,
we were out of our minds.
Y'all
too.
Was nuts.
We were out of our minds too.
It sounded you know, like
we
it.
Were selling drugs.
Y'all went through the '80s, and the '80s was just a whole
doing crazy stuff.
Seventies and eighties.
But we also went to college.
Yeah,
my generation went to college in greater numbers. Than any other generation.
Wow.
Because it was more open for us to go to college.
Less expensive, was it, back then, too?
Well, I'm sure. I mean, okay. just as the nature of the economics of it.
Mm-hmm.
But more so, I would say this, and then we can go to break, that when I was younger, I was negotiating a whole series of things. So I didn't have time to sit around and worry about who didn't like me, or who didn't call me back, or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got 10 cents in my pocket.
Yeah,
this gotta last me a week.
I got stuff to do.
So I don't have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just very one of my gifts. People think my gift is talking. Maybe it is, but my gift is clarity.
Yeah, clarity and focus.
I can cut through the foolishness very quickly and get right to the heart of the matter. And that's my invitation to all of you. Cut through it, people. Whatever age you are, clarity can be yours. We'll be right back right after this.
Yeah, if I was 6'5", Doc, I'd be playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Two? That's exactly how
I'm thinking. Like 6'2", 6'3".
I mean, you do know you're, like, abnormally tall, right? Like,
not
6'2".
Abnormal.
No, yes, you
are. I'm taller than average.
You're not LA, but, like, 6'2"
is, like 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah. You were in, like, the 90th percentile.
So I'm average. Tall. I'm, like, 5'10". Yeah.
I just grew up in a world that made me feel smaller. Yeah,
intellectually, like, you're 6'5". Me was bigger. You're Ochai and
intellectually, you're 8 feet tall.
Yeah, that's right.
But
I was, like, the third shortest on my college team, so I was always the little one.
Oh,
yeah. I was literally like the third shortest.
Oh, so, we don't feel sad.
It's all good. Yeah.
So puberty hit.
Yeah, and then puberty hit. And
I was actually really short too. But anyway,
are you?
Yeah.
How tall? You're taller than me, aren't you?
I'm like 6'4", but
yeah,
I got Lyme disease in one summer and I didn't move for like 6 months. And
you
I
had Lyme disease?
Yeah.
I had
so
a teammate.
I was like completely down and I grew like 6 inches in like over the summer. They're like,
that's
what the hell
crazy.
Happened? I'm like, I don't know, but everything hurts.
Your knees were probably on fire.
Everything.
Yeah, I already know.
I had Bell's palsy. Half my body was shut down. All right. Let's go. Let's go.
You think you know someone? Yeah. People be going through.
Welcome back, everybody. Interesting things happen during the break.
Always.
We're going to do a show called During the Break.
Man, we could literally make a show just out of our outtakes.
Yeah. And we would get sued.
Yeah. We would probably never have a job again. Yeah. Let's not do that.
At least let's have Aaron edit it.
Yeah, it started off as a good idea.
Take some of the logos off.
Aaron, we're going to get you on that.
Sizzle reel.
There'll be a lot of blank. There'll be a lot of bleeps and blank spaces.
Say that again. I didn't hear you.
There'll be a lot of like blank bleep outs and spaces
it'll
in it.
It'll just sound like a Jerry Springer.
It'll be all bleeps.
A lot of bleeps. Because of you. You're the one. You ought to hear him during the break.
Y'all got to remind me of which words aren't. Like, it's like they get to pick and choose which word, four-letter words.
No, there's really only one word you have a problem with.
The S-H-I-T.
Right.
That one you just spelled out. I can't just.
That's a complete obfuscation.
You're right. Good call. Okay. I just got to remember that one there. All right. So, you ready for this next story?
Yeah, I suppose.
You're not, though. So, apparently, according to the New York Times.
At least we got a newspaper I've heard of.
You don't like this stuff.
You don't like the BBC?
Well, yeah, but that's not a newspaper, but go ahead.
You didn't get that joke at all, and I'm so glad you didn't. All right. According to the New York Times, apparently.
I got what you
did. Yeah! We're not going back to that. We're moving forward. According to the New York Times, for the third time, Jada Pinkett Smith been all over the internet lately.
Oh, yeah.
She has claimed that her and Will have been separated since 2016.
Yes.
Does that come to your surprise or not?
No, not at all.
I know it doesn't.
No,
and
not at all.
Please tell the viewers why.
So, let me, for full disclosure, I don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
I think I may have met them once, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Which is surprising to me, actually.
But I don't, so whatever I say is from the outside,
mm-hmm.
someone who doesn't know them. My observation of Will Smith has been for a while that he's not particularly stable.
You did say that after the Oscars.
What I mean by that is that's not an assessment of good or bad or good or evil. He just seems to me to be just all over the place.
Like something's boiling inside.
Yeah,
almost.
Emotionally.
Because
mm-hmm. When you chase the rush, and the thrill, that comes from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so my point is I'm not surprised because I had a sense that something was going on.
And that makes sense. It adds up, huh?
It adds up why he would sort of be doing all of this stuff to sort of fill this void, to discover, to deal, to cope with what was going on in his marriage. So first let me say that I wish them well.
Yeah. Me too.
Together or separately.
Mm-hmm.
They've given a lot, and they brought a lot of joy and happiness and beauty. Mm-hmm. And so they deserve to have some of that come back to them.
Absolutely.
And I know a lot of people are beating up on Jada. But you don't know a marriage unless you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what went down. And we don't know why. Excuse me, I almost died. Why they went through what they went through, we have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the thing that concerns me is we didn't need to know all that.
Mm-hmm. I want to know who was asking all of that.
Yeah, well, we just don't. Let me tell you something. I have my private life is my private life, right? You know more about my private life than a lot of people.
Yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's my damn business. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't concern you, then it's none of your business.
Yeah.
I don't feel any moral obligation to share with some random stranger anything,
let alone the world.
I guess that's why I'm like a dinosaur
when it comes to that
in this sort in this digital culture.
Yeah.
Where every time you fart, you want to share it with mm-hmm. people. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand that. So yeah. I don't get Jada needing to tell us all this.
Well, she's wrote a memoir, you know, that released October 17th called Worthy. And a lot of these clips are just from her doing promo about the book. But
I get
of course, it's like, I feel like they got to a point where the speculations and all of the rumors and all of the things got probably so high that they felt like, all right, let's clear the air and at least set the record straight on some of this stuff.
Clear the air for who?
I don't know.
The two of you know.
Exactly.
Your kids know. Your mom knows.
And that was what I was going to get
at. Who are you clearing the air for?
I was
some random idiot walking down the street?
The blogs, all of the people that are forming assumptions.
No. Why feel any obligation to give them clarity?
And they didn't up until now, which is crazy. You know what I mean? And now it's almost like overload where we're like, all right, geez.
I just, listen, I get if you felt like you were being disingenuous with the public mm-hmm. and now you feel like because you were disingenuous, you now want to set the record straight.
Mm-hmm.
What about
their role as being role models for other people and wanting to be clear on who they actually are as opposed to having people form this own narrative.
But people are still forming their own narrative. You
already,
get people
yeah,
the right. truth, and then they make up why you told the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And the blogs are only going to pick and choose what they want to post, too, that's going to get them clicks.
You're never going to stop people from forming their own narrative.
You're right.
I think that the only way it makes sense to sort of tell us all this is if you are atoning for giving a misimpression.
I hear that.
Right?
Yeah.
Then okay, maybe I get that,
mm-hmm.
but you know, if you're writing a book and it's a memoir, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just wish them well.
Yeah,
I think they deserve to be happy like everybody else.
I do,
and I know people are, you know. I've seen people have these real harsh things about Jada,
just because
and how she's emasculating Will Smith
yeah.
and blah blah blah. And
if he doesn't feel that way, then...
Well, the point I'm making is we don't know
exactly.
If he feels
it doesn't
that
even matter to...
I don't know.
The rest of the world's opinions are just going to be that.
I just don't know. I just...
And it sounds like he's supportive. They're supposed to be coming out with something together, apparently, too.
That's my other problem with this. This is turning into an industry.
I think they're just making money off of it.
Yeah, that's my other problem.
Yeah.
So first he writes a book.
Mm.
And everybody was telling me how great the book was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read it and I thought, not so great.
Yeah.
Like, it's all right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like in his book, there was something missing.
He wasn't telling it all.
Remember I told you that?
Yeah, you did.
I was like, there's something about this that's missing.
Yeah.
And now she writes a memoir.
Filling in the
blanks. Filling in the blanks. And now if what you say allegedly is true, they're going to come out with, this is turning into something. Stop it. I need you to stop. Here's what I need. People, I have no, put back on the wide camera. I have no say-so with anything, but this is just me. All right, well, Jada, this is, I'm older than both of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. This is Uncle Sean, okay? Here's what I need you to do. Will, I need you to get back to acting. Get back to focusing on being a good actor. Because your last few movies, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
You're gifted, son, and you got something the world
King
needs.
King Richard was great, though. He killed King Richard.
I didn't think so.
You didn't think so?
I'm in the middle of talking to Will. Get back to focusing on that. Get back to loving and mastering your craft. And Jada, you do a great job with Red Table Talk. Get back to the things that sort of make you alive and why you were sent here. God did not send both of you to this planet to sit around and talk about your marriage in public or to profit off of it. He sent you to this planet to do what you guys have been doing for years. And that is creating beautiful art and opportunities for people to think differently and to experience joy. get back to that. Get back to why you were sent here, because you're not getting any younger. No. The sun is setting, and you don't want to look back on your life and make this the final statement about your time here.
Yeah.
This whatever's going on between the two of you. Okay? How about we get back to the bigger things?
Yeah.
The reasons for our existence. The raison d'etre.
The raison d'etre.
God didn't send us here to talk about we've been separated for 16 years. How about this? I don't even care.
I know you don't.
I don't need to know that. Yeah. But I would love it if you made a great movie that made me want to be a better person or whatever it was. Do that.
And shout out to their kids. I feel like they've raised such an amazing family. They're doing...
See, I don't know if the family's amazing because I don't know their family.
I've met Jaden. I've met Willow. Okay. And my first...
Have you had dinner with them?
Not dinner, but I've been around Jaden for a whole night. So I've been able to actually...
A whole whopping night.
But I've seen like his presence and felt his energy.
I'm being facetious.
I know you are, but I'm just saying. Because and I know how much he does for other people. That was what I was getting at. They seem to be, you know, doing more for other people than they, you know... have to, and I love that because they were raised in a way that makes them value.
I just want them to do, this is true for not just them, everybody in this room. I want people to do what they were born to do and not waste time talking about stuff like this.
That don't, yeah, you're right. I hear you. That was how they got here.
Legacy.
That's how they got here.
Just focus on your legacy.
Yeah.
Focus on what it is you're trying to say with your life. And let people who don't have lives talk about your life.
That's what they do.
But you don't need to sit around and do it.
Yeah. And they've done a good job up until now, I feel like.
You know.
Yeah. And now it's just like the levee broke.
I can't have that on camera.
Yeah. You about to get a suit.
Sorry.
But yeah, I, you know, I think we could take this to a quick break, but.
I mean, I'm sorry I don't have.
I wasn't expecting all of that. I wasn't expecting what you even gave me, to be honest.
Because at a certain point, it just gets to be, so come on, y'all.
So before we go to break, what kind of example do you think this sets for their kids, other people that look up to them as role models? What do you think the impact that they're having is going to ultimately have on them?
The impact I hope it's going to have is that it shows everybody that no matter who you are, loving another human being is the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life.
Mm.
It's easier to love a cat or a dog or a mouse than it is to love a man or a woman.
Mm.
And if that's what comes out of it, then they've done all of us a great service. You can have, so I saw one of the interviews, she said she was at the height of her life, all the money, all the fame, all the attention she could want, and she was miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Prince Harry was living in a palace with servants.
Miserable.
Right? Miserable. Mother Teresa was living in Calcutta among the slums, the homeless, the indigent, the diseased, and she was happy and fulfilled.
Thriving. Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
I definitely follow.
It's your bank account and your station in life and your stature does not always equate to the degree of your happiness.
You're right. Rarely does.
So the lesson to all of us is you can be, remember, everybody wanted to be Will and Jada goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want that Will and Jada love. Really? Do you want the Will and Jada love?
You never even knew what that was.
Right. You want something you don't even know what it is. You're looking at it, making assessments about it, and now you're speaking out into the universe that you want that for yourself. Mm-hmm. How about you say, I want the love that life has for me. I only want what has been ordained for me to have. I don't want Will and Jada love. I don't want Barack and Michelle love. I don't want Oprah and Stedman love. I don't want Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. I want your love.
What's a good gay couple? I can't think of somebody. Anyway. Yeah, I'm trying to conclude everybody in my analogy.
I know.
I want the love that's for me.
Yeah.
And let that be enough. And stop wishing that you could be somebody else.
Because it ain't going to happen.
And if it did, it would probably kill you. Can't handle the weight that some people, your shoulders weren't built to carry that. So rejoice in your own journey.
Amen.
And be good and be happy. And that's okay.
On that note, we're going to take a break.
I know. I just went a whole thing.
That was good, though. We're going to be right back.
I love that. Welcome back, everybody. We got our headphones on.
Know what that means.
And technology.
Technology.
So, what is this?
We got us some videos coming. This first one looks like it's gonna be funny. This first check, I can only imagine. Let's dive into it.
Cause I didn't even see that.
Yeah, we got first some. Check. We got some stuff.
Reading is fundamental.
It is. Learn how to.
Whoa.
First check ever in life, boy. Gonna see what it do. And wait, we ain't gotta say how much it is, man. See his face when you open it up, man. Wait, Jojo. How does it feel opening up this first check, man?
Come on, Papa. Just open it up.
All right.
What is this? You need this.
You really don't. Well.
Because he was expecting to wait.
Why your face like that, Jojo?
It's probably the taxes. It's probably taxes.
Would you expect it more?
Because you're 18.
Jojo, would you expect it more?
How much you getting? I got this
thing on me. Jojo, where you going?
How much did y'all get?
Oh yeah, they took out taxes, Joe. Welcome to the world.
What? Joe.
Yeah.
Where you going, man?
It's a part of life.
Ooh, you mad?
Yeah, they took out the taxes right here. So.
Poor little guy.
It's funny how everybody in the car understand completely. They like, I don't know why you was that hype about it. I want to know, but ain't they show us the amount?
I mean, it doesn't matter. We've all been there.
I kind of want to know. I get residual checks, so I need to know. Them residual checks sometimes, I done got a check for 18 cents. I'm like, y'all spent more on the paper than you did on the damn check.
Okay, let's not make this about.
Hey, we don't strike for a reason. We don't strike for a reason. Was there a strong?
Whoa. Was there a was there a point to this? I don't.
Oh, was there a point to it?
Oh, we're on a show. Yes.
Yeah, I forgot we were here. Do you remember your first check?
You totally were.
ADHD kicked in.
Did y'all just see that? Or was that the only one?
He was just having fun.
People. I was promoting the SAG guy for strike.
Hold on. People, if you can rewind right here and go back and watch that whole thing. He was no longer in the room.
I forgot we watched the video, everything. I was just thinking about this strike and how I got 18 cents for a check once. That's crazy.
And you notice I really tried to pull you out.
You did. And I stayed in it.
I tried to reach in and grab you like, let's not make this. And then you wouldn't come. You wouldn't follow. Okay.
Want the best of Mari? Kevin, you are not. Want the best of the Steve Wilkos show? Would you take Dave back if you left Katie?
Want the best of Jerry Springer?
Just download Nosy on your mobile device or stream it on Pluto TV, Samsung TV, or the Roku channel. Until next time, America.
So this, you guys remember my first check?
Yeah, do you remember it?
Let me tell you something about that little boy that I don't understand. I was so glad to have a check.
At all, huh?
It's these postmodern expectations.
You was way too excited going into it anyway.
Yeah, listen, I was so glad to have a damn check. Yeah. Look, you take what you want to take. Let's leave me
something.
With something.
Yeah. You know, it's better than nothing.
And so, what? Now, here's what I did, because that happened to me with my sons. Mm-hmm. And I explained to them, they kind of had a similar reaction. I said, come on, let's go outside. We went outside. I said, you see this street? They said, yeah, your taxes make this street possible.
Mm-hmm.
I said, come on, let's go down the street. Pops, really? It wasn't a question, little boy.
Yeah.
You see that light that works? Your taxes. Mm-hmm. You have to pay to live.
Mm-hmm.
In a society.
I feel like we shouldn't have to pay as much as we do if they're giving all our money away to other stuff.
That's a different conversation that you can have on the next show.
A whole lot of taxes, not a whole lot of paved roads in Los Angeles. That's all I'm saying.
But you know what? Before you take that too far, because you sound really social media right now.
I do. I'm just a driver in Los Angeles.
No. Go to some other country.
Bent rim.
Listen. I need you to focus. You. I'm sorry. You're killing me right now. Okay?
Come on, I'm back.
You look like this is not funny face.
I'm back. I know. That's why I'm laughing.
Go. I'm like, you stop it. Go to some other countries.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're right.
Okay? And you stop complaining real fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Depending on what country you're in.
No. I've been to some countries, and I'm glad I had that little blue passport. You know such?
Yeah.
So
I'm extremely grateful.
It's all relative. We're real. We're in this country. We're real. We don't think we should have to pay for nothing. Yeah. And that ain't how it works.
Yeah, that's not that I don't think we should get paid. We don't have to pay. Shouldn't have to pay for nothing. I just think we need to get paid more for what we do.
Why?
Because
says who?
Because we ain't getting enough. That's why.
Says who? That's not a reason.
Me.
That's not a reason either.
That's my
President.
Reason. My prerogative.
Okay, well that's,
nah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the mindset.
I just think in relation to sometimes the
generation.
Amount of work, I think in relation to sometimes the amount of work that we do for certain things, I just think we get rewarded on such a subjective scale that the value of what you do isn't always, isn't lined up with what you get rewarded
or compensated for. Rich. Because I was thinking about somebody who I had this conversation with. Rich.
Here we go.
We literally get paid
yeah.
to sit our asses in a chair and talk in a microphone.
But you know why? Because we got something to say that means something.
Let me finish the thought.
Everybody ain't got that.
Let me finish the thought.
Can name a few.
Because you already feel your argument crumbling.
No, not yet.
Which is why,
I'm standing on this.
This is exactly what Donald Trump does.
Don't put me in the same sentence as Donald Trump ever.
He does not allow the questioner to finish the question.
This is me just standing on business.
You already feel your argument crumbling, so now you want to jump in so I don't get to complete.
Go ahead. I'm going to let you finish.
But I'm going to complete whether you...
Go for it.
If I have to sit on this for the whole rest of the show... I'm gonna complete this point.
Go
okay?
for it.
You can jump in all you want.
Go for it.
We literally get paid to sit in chairs in front of a camera and talk into a microphone. Mm-hmm. And somehow we're under the impression, you know what I'm saying, that when there are people in three quarters of the world who are doing actual hard labor, sun up to sundown. With blisters and boils.
That is very true.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
They should probably get paid a lot more than you and I. Mm.
Probably.
Just based upon the amount of work that they're
doing. That's my problem too, though.
So, you know what I'm saying?
I think they should.
The reason I came at you the way I did is because it's such an American way of thinking about things.
Yeah.
You know, now, would I like to get paid more? Hell yes. I'm about to have a worship moment. Hold on.
I feel it.
I'm about to go into tongues right here. Yes, I would.
Yeah.
But it's not because I think that I deserve it. The universe owes me.
It's not that it owes you.
No. I just would like it.
A lot.
You know what I'm saying? I would like it. And of course, I think I bring a certain value.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm in a certain industry.
That's all that I was getting at, though, is the value
behind
it.
But you just expressed it really American.
I did.
It just worked my last
three nerves. And I will say that, though,
nerves.
Because it's like, not just us sitting in these chairs and talking into a microphone and getting paid for it. This is years of wisdom, years of triumph, years of relationship building, years of doing things that a lot of people aren't willing to do to be able to be in this position and sitting in this chair talking about.
No, absolutely true.
And
I agree.
Truth be told, I'd like to think that part of the reason that we're sitting in these two chairs is because of one of the things that I value, one about myself, but also you as well. Our ability to build and also keep relationships. A lot of people, you can form a relationship with anybody. But to actually be able to build and keep and sustain a relationship over a long period of time is so rare to me in these days that you introduced me to the person that helped us make this possible.
I'm cutting you off.
Nine years ago.
You're going down a rabbit hole.
9 years ago, though.
Don't tell everything. You're
I'm just saying. But if we did not. But if we did
Stop.
Not.
Cease. Desist. And listen. Look, he's suspended animation. That was good. Are you acting right now?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good. Because here's my point, all right? And I agree with everything you're saying, by the way. But we make more than teachers.
That's the problem.
That's my
point. They need to be millionaires, too.
We, I Damn mean, it. We shouldn't make more than teachers. You know what I'm saying?
We all should be millionaires. Okay. Us teachers.
I can't.
Everybody that got a brain that actually is adding value to the world.
I don't think everybody should be a millionaire. All right? First of all, everybody couldn't handle $1 million. They probably would ruin their lives. And secondly, different people bring different amounts of value to the table. Mm-hmm. Certain functions are more valuable than others.
Yeah.
I'm not a socialist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an egalitarian.
But who is the person that determines that? Because it's not just one person that determines, all right, this is more valuable than this. Because if that teacher has helped thousands of kids over the last 15 years grow into better people that are actually functioning in society, doing better, that's more valuable than anybody making $1 million just doing something that ain't
not in a helping country, nobody. Not in a country that values entertainment
exactly
over education. Mm. So who determines that? The values, the allegiances mm-hmm. of a culture.
Yeah.
And then secondarily, an industry.
Mm-hmm. Can that change for an entire entity
like that? If the values of the country change.
Do you think it's possible?
In America, not in my lifetime.
Mm.
I'm not going to say no because I don't have future knowledge of 100 years from now.
And we've come a long way already. You never know.
More importantly, yeah. I don't have future knowledge of 100 years from now.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not a pessimist. Mm-hmm. I'm a skeptic. That's the difference. A pessimist would have said to you, no, it's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
But a pessimist believes that he has knowledge of something he can't possibly have. I'm a skeptic. I'm saying based upon what I see and what my experiences tell me, I don't think so.
Okay.
But I'm not going to disclose that we might have a different future.
I agree.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, all of that to say.
Bring it home.
Yeah. We went a lot of places right there. All of that to say, Rich Morrow, that the young man, I understand what he's feeling.
Me too.
I feel it too. Every time I open my little
taxes be gone.
My little check. But I had to pull myself in,
mm-hmm.
which is what I tried to model for you.
You do.
Pull yourself in and don't get wrapped up in privilege crazy.
Yeah, I take it back to the gratitude because at the end of the day, I don't think, I'm necessarily owed anything. But I do feel that I've earned.
But here's the other thing.
Certain things.
Because it just came to me. Why not? And I'm not judging the parent or anybody in that car. But why not use it as an opportunity to teach that young man?
Yeah, they didn't.
About. I haven't said it yet.
Yeah, no.
About what it means to live in community
mm-hmm.
and to contribute collectively.
Mm-hmm.
To the betterment of that community.
Yeah.
That not everything you make should all go to you.
Mm.
That each of us are responsible for each other.
Each other.
And okay. And the money that you lost in that check is feeding someone somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, some of it's going to places you might not like. But that's part of what it means to live in a country.
Mm-hmm.
When you live in a country, your taxes go to a military mm-hmm. that's doing things you may not like.
Yeah.
But it's also going to educate children mm-hmm. in the bayou and in Appalachia.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what it means to live in a country. We've lost the ability to be citizens, which is part of why I've responded the way mm-hmm. I did, because I hear this all the time. People turn being a citizen into being an individual.
Yeah.
And how the hell are we going to live together in a country?
If we're individuals.
If we don't understand it, I got to give something.
It is the United States. Yeah.
I got to be willing to give something.
You're right.
Democracy, and then we can go. Democracy, put this at the bottom of the screen. Democracy is a negotiation of loves. Mm. It only works because I'm willing to negotiate some of what I love so that you can get some of what you
mm-hmm.
love
mm-hmm.
so that I can get more of what I love.
Mm-hmm. And we can both be.
And we can both be relatively happy. We're mm-hmm. not all going to be totally happy because we all don't agree.
And that's life.
That's everything, right?
It's everything.
It's family, it's marriage, mm-hmm. it's kids. It's in the ghost. That's why families are democratic. Marriages
mm-hmm.
are democratic.
Mm-hmm.
Friendships, democratic. Mm-hmm. It's a negotiation of loves,
mm-hmm.
right? I love all of this, but I'm willing mm-hmm. to give up just a little bit of this.
For you.
For you and for me
mm-hmm.
to get most of what I want.
Absolutely. So what would your slogan be?
Democracy, a negotiation of love. Mm. I don't know.
That works, though.
I don't know.
I tell one of my friends all the time, everything is negotiable.
It is.
And, you know, in a country like America, it's rang even more true. And, yeah, that's going to be your slogan. I'm with it. Vote for Sean. Dr. Sean.
This is it? That's the end of the episode?
It is. That's why I needed to know that slogan before we get out of here. Do you want to come up with a better one? Or do you want to repeat it one more time so we can put it at the bottom of the screen?
Recap. Will and Jada, keep going. We love you. Do great things.
Love you, Will.
Forget about the past. Taxes, we all have to pay it. And it helps to create the kind of world, the country we want to live in, even though we don't like it. What else? What else did we talk about?
The little boy.
I just mentioned the little boy. I yelled at Rich. Okay. Anyway, thank you for tuning in, everybody. It's been an exciting time. We will see you next time on McMillan Tomorrow.
Vote for Doc.
Just don't vote for me, people. I'm not running for anything, and I don't need that kind of heat in my life, okay?
Everything's negotiable.
See you next time.